Okay, this week we are learning Daf Yud Ches, Maseches Sukkah Daf Yud Ches. Where is everybody tonight? Anyone know? Is there a game going on? Is it
English
test tomorrow? Okay. All right. So let's get moving here. Tashma, we are three lines from the bottom of Daf Yud Zayin and Beis. Effie, I need you because there's no one here. So Daf Yud Zayin and Beis, three lines from the bottom of the page. We were discussing how much schach puzzle would make a sukkah puzzle, would ruin the sukkah. So we said four tefachim of schach puzzle, four amos of schach puzzle minat sad will be a problem. That everyone agreed to, that on the side of the sukkah, four amos, or more than four amos would be a problem, less than four amos would not be a problem, because we can always use what concept on the side of the sukkah? Dofen akuma, very good. But when it comes to the middle of the sukkah, we had a machlokas whether it's dalit tfachim or also dalit amos, that you have even up until dalit amos in the middle. So says Gemara Tashma, let's bring a raya. So what's the raya from? So let's see. So the Gemara says we're going to bring you a raya from the following: sikha bin asar and shalerez. If you make schach, if you are misakech your sukkah with, you cover your sukkah with boards of cedar wood sheyesh behen dalid, that are dalit tfachim. Let's assume it means dalit tfachim. Normally in a sugya where the whole point of contention is whether it's dalit tfachim or dalit amos, you would hope that the Gemara would say something other than dalit, but it doesn't. So we'll have to assume that it means dalit, what?
This whole sugya is a dalit.
Yeah, but we've been talking about Arba Amos as well. So over here it means Dalit Tfachim. Divrei HaKol Psula. So if these boards are four Tfachim wide, everyone would say they're Pasul. Ein Behen Dalit, if they're less than four Tfachim wide, Rav Meir Posel, Rav Yehuda Machshir. Rav Meir is going to say it's Pasul, Rav Yehuda will say it's Kasher. Umod de Rav Meir, but Rav Meir will admit, She'im Yesh Bein Nesel L'Neser, Kimelo Neser, She'miniach Pesel B'nei Mekshera. That if you leave between each of the boards the amount of space that is the equivalent size of the boards themselves, which is how much space between each board? Four tefachim. Good. Ike. So if you leave the amount of space between each board that equals the amount of space that the board itself takes up, then you can just fill in that empty space with pesel. What is pesel? What's another word for pesel? Kosher schach. You fill it in with kosher schach, right? That's the another word for that's pesel. It refers to that. The psolas goren viyakev. You remember how we determined what schach is? It's the psolas goren viyakev. So you fill it in with kosher schach, ukshair, and that's going to be kosher. So says the Gemara. Let's see which opinion does this make sense according to. Which opinion in regards to how much schach pesel is going to be a problem in the middle of the sukkah does this make sense according to? Bish lama leman yam ben men sovem imatzad bedalad amos. I understand very well if you're going to tell me that Dalit Amos is the magic number, whether you're talking on the side of the sukkah or whether you're talking in the middle of the sukkah. Dalit Amos is always going to be your magic number. Then I understand Mishum Hachik Sheira. That's why it's going to be kosher, because each of these boards are how big? For Tzfachim. So you know we're near Dalit Amos, and it makes sense that the sukkah is going to be kosher. Alman the Amr Be'emtza Arba'a means what? Arba'a Tfachim. If you hold that four Tfachim is a problem, that four Tfachim consecutively of Schach Pasul in the middle of the Sukkah is a problem, Amayk Sheira, why should it be Kosher? Just because you fill in the spaces between the boards with Schach Kosher, each board alone is four Tfachim, and therefore each board alone is enough to do what to the Sukkah? Make a puzzle, exactly. Good, Shmuel. Each board alone is enough to make the sukkah puzzle. So how could you say it's kosher? So this is a raya. Therefore, what do we bring this machlokas for? To bring what do we bring this discussion of Rav Meir and the Chum for? To prove what? It's schach puzzle in the middle of the sukkah is only puzzle if it's how much? Dalit Amos. Yeah, you pick up four fingers. Very good. Yeah, Dalit Amos. But Dalit Tfachim would be kosher. That's a raya, because if you held Dalit Tfachim would be pasul, then why would this case be kosher? Samar Avuna Breg Rav Yeshua Hacha Besukah Delohavya Lashmona Mitzum Samos Askinan. He says, no, we're talking over here about a sukkah that has exactly 8 amos in length. The sukkah is exactly 8 amos in length, and this is how you arranged it. V'yahiv neser u'pesel, neser u'pesel, v'neser u'pesel, me'ai gisa. You had switching off, a board, kosher schach, a board, kosher schach, a board, kosher schach on one side, and then starting from the other end of the sukkah, you did also neser pesel, neser pesel, neser pesel, nehai gisa, on the other side of the sukkah. So you start on the east end of the sukkah, and you do a four tefach board, four tefach and kosher schach, four tefach board, four tefach and kosher schach, etc. Start on the western side and do the same, and you know what's going to happen in the middle? You're going to have two consecutive spaces of kosher schach, because if you started both ends with boards and you have exactly 8 amos, how many tefachim is 8 amos? 6 tefachim per amah. Now it should be easy. How many tefachim is 8 amos? 48 tefachim. So if you go 4, 4, 4, 4, by the time you get to the middle, you're going to have how many tefachim consecutive of kosher schach? Anybody? How many tefachim consecutive of kosher schach by the time you get to the middle? Are you not picturing this, what we're doing here? We have 8 amos across, which means 48 tefachim across of a sukkah. You get this? 48 tefachim is the length of the sukkah. You start with a 4 tefach board, 4 tefachim of kosher schach. 4 tefach board, 4 tefachim of kosher schach. 4 tefach board, 4 tefachim of kosher schach. On the other side, 4 tefach board, 4 tefachim of kosher schach, etc. And then in the middle, you will have good 8 tefachim of kosher schach. Is that large enough for a kosher sukkah? What is how? What's the minimum size of a sukkah? 7 tefachim. So yes, you do have 8 is more than 7. Very good. So you do have enough for a kosher sukkah. But all the stuff on the side is possible because you have all those 4 tefach boards, and those are all possible. Is that a problem over here? How big is the sukkah in its entirety? Is only 8 amos, right? And you take out the middle part, which is the kosher part. So how much puzzle stuff? So you have roughly 3.5 amos of schach puzzle on that side, 3.5 amos of schach puzzle on that side. But that's okay, because now it's minatzad. So you could apply what din? Dofen akuma. So that's how it works out. That's why, even if you hold 4 tefachim of schach puzzle as a problem, be'emtza, you can set up this case where you're alternating, where there isn't 4 tefachim be'emtza, the schach puzzle is all on the sides. What's be'emtza? 2 consecutive 4 tefach sections of kosher schach, and that's the case. So therefore, it's not a raya at all. That's the case that it works out. The havelu shnei psalin be'emtza. You end up with 2 pesels. What's a pesel? Schach choshers in the middle. V'ikeh hechsher sukkah be'emtza, and you have more than enough space for a kosher sukkah in the middle, which is 8 tefachim. Main point number 1: alternating 4 tefach boards and 4 tefach schach kosher can even be good if you hold dalit tefachim be'emtza. Can even be good if you hold dalit tefachim be'emtza if 2 sections of schach kosher meet in the middle. So again, you got that? Alternating boards of 4 tefachim and four tefachim schach kosher can be even be good if you hold dalit tefachim be'emtza, as long as 2 segments of schach kosher meet in the middle. If you hold dalet amos be'emtza, can it be good? If you hold dalet amos is gonna possible be'emtza, only more than dalet amos possible be'emtza. Would it be good if you have alternating boards? So then of course it would be good, right? Because you never have dalet amos. You have right? If it's alternating, you never have dalet amos. No, that's if you only use 4 tefach boards, one right next to each other. So each of them is considered schach pasul. So in that case, it's talking about where, right, you basically put a roof on. So yeah, a roof is pasul. Right? Okay. The end of the point is, as long as 2 sections of schach meet in the middle, of schach kosher meet in the middle of the sukkah. Okay? Next. Yeah, good. We're ready. Amar Abaye says Abaye, Avir Shlosha B'Sukkah Gedola. If you have airspace of 3 tefachim, what does airspace mean? It means nothing's there. There's no schach kasher, no schach pasul, nothing. Airspace of three tefachim in a large sukkah. Umiato, and then you made that airspace smaller by inserting something in that space. Bein bekanim, bein beshvudin. Whether you put in kosher schach, kanim is reeds, which are kosher schach. Bein beshvudin, or whether you put in metal sticks, metal spits, which are obviously non-kosher schach. Havimiut. Either way, as long as it makes the airspace less than how much? Three tefachim, because that's the magic number for airspace. Three tefachim of airspace would ruin. How many tefachim of schach pasul would ruin? Even according to the most machmir opinion, four tefachim. Right? Three tefachim of airspace, though, would ruin. So as long as you make it less than three tefachim, even if you filled it in with pasul schach, that's fine. Bisukkah ketana, but let's say the sukkah was exactly seven tefachim, and three of those tefachim are covered with air. So bekanim avimiut. If you filled in some of that air with kosher schach, that's fine. But b'shvudin lo avimiut. If you filled it in with metal, that's not going to be good. That will not be fine. Metal's mekabel tuma, exactly. So if you fill it in with non-kosher schach, it's not going to be fine. Even though there isn't three tefachim of airspace, nor is there four tefachim of schach pasul anymore, but you simply don't have enough room of schach kasher in a seven tefach sukkah if three of the tefachim don't have kosher schach on them. Right, that's the point. So even if you fill it in with something, but if it's not kosher schach, it's not going to be good. V'hani mili menat sad, but that's only true if you're talking about from the side of the sukkah. Aval be'emtza, but if you fill it in the middle of the sukkah, pligiv ravach of ravina, then you have a machlokas ravach and ravina. Chad omer yesh lavud be'emtza, v'chad omer ein lavud be'emtza. So, meaning, that which we say, that airspace of less than three tefachim is considered closed off and fine, that's for sure works on the side of the sukkah. In the middle of the sukkah, less than three tefachim of airspace may not be okay. That's the question of whether yesh lavud be'emtza or ein lavud be'emtza. Do we apply the concept of lavud even in the middle of the sukkah? So typically, what would you have thought before you came tonight if I would have asked you, less than three tefachim of airspace in the middle of a sukkah, is that lavud or not? What would you have said? Anybody? What? I know you don't have a time machine. Hard to go back and know what you would have thought. But probably I would imagine if you knew the din of lavud, I'm assuming if you heard of lavud before, like, you know, you've been here before, so you would have said airspace is always lavud, and any airspace less than three tefachim is always lavud. We always say, I shouldn't assume you know what lavud is as I say the word right now. What does lavud mean? Let me go slower, okay. Bereishis bara Elokim es hashamayim ves haaretz. What does lavud mean? Anybody? Okay, so next time that happens, someone say, you're saying words that I don't know what they mean, and I have no idea what you're talking about. I know you don't want to get caught in the recorder. Okay, Effie. Wagner. So, Lovin means that less than three tefachim, just a few thousand, that less than three tefachim of airspace is considered to be closed off. That anything less than three tefachim of open space, we view it as if it's like if I have wall and then less than three tefachim of airspace that's where there's no wall and then the wall continues, I view it as if it's continuous wall. Same by the schach, right? Less than three tefachim is considered as if it's closed off. The machlokas of Rayan is, do we apply lavud even in the middle of the sukkah or only on the sides of the schach? Yeah.
Well, we keep saying if we fill that airspace in the middle, like spits,
across the whole, no, not in midair. On the sukkah, you put a schach mat here, a schach mat there. They don't reach each other. They're three tefachim apart from each other. So you put some metal across them. Right, that's all it means. So anyway, so that's a machlokas amarayim, whether yesh lavud be'emtza or ein lavud be'emtza. That's an important concept. Yesh lavud be'emtza, that we apply lavud even in the middle of the sukkah. Ein lavud be'emtza, we would not apply lavud in the middle of the sukkah. Know what lavud means. Lavud is probably. It's embarrassing, frankly, that you don't know what it means by the time we're on Daf Yud Ches. It's one of the more important concepts in the first half of this Masechta. Yeah.
I don't understand why it matters if lavud happens in the middle or not, if you're covering it.
You're not covering it. We're talking about if you leave it open. Is there lavud or is it? I mean, no. What lavud means is that if it's lavud only applies when there's less than three tefachim. So you put one spit over it, so now you have 2.9 tefachim. So you still need to apply lavav to close off that 2.9 tefachim. Right, no, you're not coming. So says the Gemara, my time in the Mandi Amri Yesh Lavad Bam. So what's the reason for the opinion that holds that we apply Lavad in the middle of the Sukkah? De Tanya, because we have a Braisa. Korah Yotzim Mikosal Zevein Unogas Mikosal Acher. Defies the laws of physics. You have one beam that goes out from one wall but doesn't quite reach to the other wall. So you have a beam going out. Now this is talking about not in Hilchas Sukkah, this is talking about Hilchas Eruv, when you have a mavoi, an alleyway that you need a beam running across the front of it if you want to be able to carry inside of it on Shabbos. So you have a beam that runs goes out of what juts out of one wall, but it doesn't reach the other side wall, right? The other wall that serves as the opening to the alleyway. So kore yotzu mikosel zeh the ina nogas mikosel acher v'chein shtei kuros, or also if you have two beams, achas yotzu mikosel zeh v'achas yotzu mikosel zeh, one comes out of this wall, one comes out from the opposite wall, the ina nogazubazu, but they don't quite reach each other. So what's the din? Is that considered as if you have a beam running across the whole thing? So what does it say? Pachos mishlosha eino tzarech lavi korah acheres. If the space between those beams, or in the first case, the space between the beam and the opposite wall is less than three tefachim, you don't need another beam. You don't need to fill in that space. Why not? What? Lavud. Shainman. Lavud. Very good. So, but shlosha, but if the space is more than three tvachim, then sarich lahavi karacheres, then you cannot leave that space empty. It won't count as having a beam there, because we cannot apply lavud when it's more than three tvachim. So what do you see? What do you see from there? We apply lavud not only when it's up against the other wall, but even if the two beams were coming out and they don't meet in the center, we see that yesh lavud, the emtza, even in the middle. So what's the other guy going to say? The idach, the one that says ein lavud be'emtza, will say shiny chorus drabanan. Yeah, that's in Hilchas Erevin. Hilchas Erevin are all dinim drabanan. Sukkahs d'oraisa, very good, like we had last week. So that's the reason for the opinion that ein lavud, that yesh lavud be'emtza, the shita that holds ein lavud be'emtza, will say the difference between the drabanan and d'oraisa. Fine. My time at the Mandi Yomar, ein lavud be'emtza. Where does the guy who says ein lavud be'emtza, where does he get his opinion from? Ditnan, we have a Mishnah. Mishnah in regards to Tuma, not in regards to Erevin now, not in regards to Sukkah, it's about Tuma. Ditnan, we have a Mishnah. Where is this Mishnah? Initially it appears in Ahalos, the 10th parak of Maseches Ahalos. So Ditnan, Aruba Shebebayis, if you have a skylight in a house, Uba Poseach Tefach, and you have, and the skylight itself is a tefach. Now, a skylight, we think of a sky. You know what a skylight is?
Nope.
Not going to make any assumptions. Okay, a window on the ceiling. It's a window on the ceiling, right? Except this skylight is, yes, like right above me. Except the skylights we're talking about over here are different kinds of skylights. They don't have glass. They're just open. Yes, so it's rough in the rain and the sun and every other time. But it's open. That's just the metzius over here, okay? So you have a ruba shebebayis, ubapo seach tefach, and that skylight has a tefach of an opening. Tefach is not very big. It's a very small skylight. It's just an open. What we would call that is a leak, right? It's a couple of inches that are open. So tuma bebayis, if there's tuma in the house, let's say a dead body in the house, kulo tamei, the whole rest of the house is tamei, mashe k'neged aruba tahar, but if there's anything sitting right under that skylight, that's going to be tahar, because the tumah extends throughout the entire house, but not on the spot that the skylight is going directly on, because it's not considered to be under the ohel. Meaning, when there's a dead body in a room, why does everything in the room become tameh? Because there's one big ohel over the whole room. But if there's something under an open sky, that's not under the same ohel, and therefore that's going to be tahar. Tuma k'neged aruba, let's say there's a kezayis of a dead body right under the skylight, will that make everything in the house tameh? No, because that little piece of a dead body is where? It's not under the roof. So kalabayis kulotar, the whole rest of the house is going to be tahar. That's if the aruba is a poseach tefach. Ein baruba poseach tefach, but if that skylight is less than a tefach, tuma bibayis, then if there's tuma in the house, keneged aruba tahar, then the still what's underneath the skylight is going to be tahar. But tuma, can I get aruba? But if there's tuma under, I'm sorry, am I saying this wrong? One second. Yeah, if there's ein baruba seach tafach, so tuma bebayis can I get aruba tar. If there's tuma in the house, what's under the skylight is going to be tahar. Tuma can I get aruba? If there's tuma under the skylight, kola bayis kulo tahar. The whole rest of the house is going to be tahar. So what have we proven from here? We're trying to prove that ein lavud be'emtza. So what? How does this prove ein lavud? Yeah, I'm not sure about that yet. One second. But how does it? But even before that, I think we could actually look at Rashi. Aruba begagi kineged aruba tahar kelim shetachta taorim she'enu olamais alma ein lavud be'emtza lemahavi kulei sasum. Meaning, the raya is right there from the beginning part of it already, even without the seifa. So we'll get to the seifa in a second. But the raya is to try to prove ein lavud be'emtza. Ein lavud be'emtza means that we don't view this one tefach or anything less than three tefach opening as if it's closed up. If we viewed it as if it was closed up, what would the halacha be for sure? Then everything's tummy in the house, right? Everything in the house would be tummy because it's viewed as if it's closed up. So you see from this whole analysis that we don't view it as if it's closed up. Now, how do we make sense of that seifa? So look at the Rashi. There's a girsa problem in our Gemara. Look at the Rashi about 5-6 lines before it gets wide. Ein ba'aruba poseach tefach. Look how Rashi has it. There's less than a tefach of a skylight. Tuma bebayis keneged aruba tahar. Tuma keneged aruba kolabayis kulo tahar. Seifa garsinon kiresha. So says Rashi, weird, because the seifa, which changes the case to a window that's less than a tefach, gives you the same exact halacha as the reisha. Ubedvarim acherim yesh b'neim chilek b'mishnah da'alos. So he says, the only way you're going to understand why that is if you learn Maseches Ahalos. Because the Mishnah is just setting up two, what seem like otherwise parallel cases, to tell you other situations where there might be differences between them. Like, for instance, what if there's something above that window? Does that become Tameh? So that might depend on whether that opening is a Tefach or less than a Tefach. But Eino Chinami, for these halachas that we're discussing over here, it really doesn't make a difference if the opening is a Tefach or not. All we need to bring our Raya anyway, as far as we're concerned in our Sugya, all we need to do is show that we're goreis the fact that there's a skylight here, that we're even paying attention to the fact that there's a skylight here. Because if you're paying attention to the fact that there's a skylight, that means you don't hold of what? Love, you don't have love of Bemsa. So that's the reason for the opinion ain't love of Bemsa. The Idach. What about the other guy? What's the other guy? The one who holds Yesh love of Bemsa. Shiny Hilchos Tuma. Dachi Gemiri Luhu. You can't bring a Raya from Hilchos Tuma. Dachi Gemiri Luhu. What does that mean? Hashus means halach l'moshe misinai. All of Hilchos Tuma are halach l'moshe misinai. So you can't derive, you know, what the laws should be by Sukkah from the laws by Tuma. Main point number two. The opinion of Yesh Lavud Be'emtza learns from a case of a korah b'mavoy, of a beam over an alleyway. And the opinion of Ein Lavud Be'emtza would say that's different because it's drabana. That's main point number two. Again, main point number two, the opinion of Yesh Lavud Be'emtza uses the case of a beam in an alleyway as his source. What's the case of the beam in the alleyway? Where the beam didn't reach all the way across, or the two beams didn't meet in the middle. So he uses that as his source. And the other opinion who says Ein Lavud Be'emtza would say, yeah, that's because it's Mavoi Drabanan, by Erevin, by Mavoi Drabanan, those kinds of issues will be makel, but nor by, not by Sukkah d'Oraisa. Main point number three. Again, the opinion of Yesh Lavud Be'emtza learns from Korah B'Mavoi. The opinion of Ein Lavud Be'emtza would say that we're only lenient by Mavoi, which is Drabanan. Main point number three. The opinion of Ein Lavud Be'emtza learns from where? Good, Tumas Ohel, the skylight case. And the opinion of Yesh Lavud Be'emtza would respond, good, that it's Halach L'Moshe Misinai, so we can't learn from there. So again, main point number three, the opinion of Ein Lavud Be'emtza learns from the case of Tumas Ohel by a skylight. The opinion of Yesh Lavud Be'emtza would say, you can't learn from there because it's Halach L'Moshe Misinai. period. The way it's going to work out is there are going to be six main points on Amud Aleph and zero on Amud Beis. But I think the last one you're not going to get until we do Amud Beis. Yeah, you can put them in. The last one is really an Amud Beis point, I think. So anyway, so let's go. I don't know, I wrote it. Darash Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, Bayis Shenivchas V'sichei Chal Gabav. Let's say your roof caved in. So when life hands you a lemon and your roof caves in, make lemonade and put up schach, and there you have a sukkah. Right, so you've made it a cheerful day. V'sichei Chal Gabav, so you put schach over your house. K'sheira, Amar Lefan of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi said in front of him, again, this was Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai who said this din. So he said, Rabbi Parish, you just explained that way. Kach Parish Abba, Kach Pirish Abba. Let me tell you what my father said. Who's his father? Where else do we have in Maseches Sukkah, Rabbi Shmuel and his father, Rabbi Yossi? Excellent. Shaman's all over it, right? The case of bringing the Sefer Torah through the... Who came over to me in YU and said, Rabbi Reis, who was it? Was it you that came over to me? After, when Rabbi Reis was speaking about Yarshining Rabbanus. So someone said, oh, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi. That was someone said, I don't remember who it was. Okay, so anyway, so Kach Pirish Abba. So said, what? I don't remember. It sounds like an Ezra thing, right? Yeah, it is. Okay, so Kach Pirish Abba, we'll give Ezra credit even if it wasn't. Kach Pirish Abba, so says my father. You got to know what the Tati says. Arba Amos Psula, Pachs Me Arba Amos Ksheira. That if there are four amos of roof still left, it's going to be puzzle. Why? Because then you can't apply Dofen Akuma. But if there's less than four amos, then it's going to be kosher. Darash Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, Avruma Sharia. Avruma, it's a type of fish, or mutter. Amar Lefrad Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi said to him, why are we talking about fish now? This is the way Talmud Bavli works. A certain rabbi said something, and then Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi responded. That same certain rabbi says something else, and Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi responded to that too. So we might as well mention all those cases. So we're mentioning all the Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai cases that Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi had something to say about. So Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai said, Avruma fish are kosher. Amar Lefan of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi said, Rabbi Parish. Oh, I got it. That's what you say, Rabbi. But Kacham Rabbi, you know what my Tati says. Shalmakom Ploni Asura, Shalmakom Ploni Materes. It depends where the Avruma fish come from. Avruma fish in this region are kosher, in that region are treif. So Kihad Amar Abaye, just like Abaye used to say about fish. Now we get into the whole thing about fish. Hait Sachanta Debav Nahara Sharia. These Sachanta fish of the river Bav are mutter. My taima, why are they mutter? So Ile Mamishum Durav Difi Maya. If you say, now, how do you tell if a fish is kosher or not? Fins and scales. So what kind of question is this? Are they kosher or are they not kosher? Look at it. See if it has fins and scales. Right? So must be a case where the scales have fallen off. It had shed its scales, and you don't know if it did or did not have fins or scales. So it says...
If it shed scales, it's still functional.
Yeah, so if it had halachically viable scales beforehand, even if it shed, it should be kosher. So why do you assume that the tzachanta fish of Bav Nahara are mutter? Ilei mimishum deredifi maya. If you say it's because the water in that region is very it's very strong, the rapids are very strong, vahaydag tamek, even the less like chutashidra lo matzi kaim, and non-kosher fish, since they don't have a spinal column, are unable to withstand such hard waters. But that's not true, because we see that there are non-kosher fish in those waters. So don't tell me that you know it's a kosher fish, because no non-kosher fish could survive it. We know that's not the case. Elamishum must be the malichi maya. Must be because it's very salty waters. And a non-kosher fish, since it doesn't have scales, is unable to withstand the salty waters. So that must be it. So says Gemara, one problem with that also. Vakachazina dekai. What? Yeah, but he says no. But they're very salty in that place, like the Yam HaMelech or something. So he says v'kachazin and dekai. But we see that it's not true. We see that they do survive it. So Ella, what's the reason why we assume it's kosher? Mishum delo marbetinaihu dug tame. We just happen to know about that region of the world that it's not indigenous dug and tame, and do not non kosher fish do not grow there. Literally, marbetinayu means the mud doesn't grow non-kosher fish. It means it's a region that non-kosher fish, for whatever reason, aren't there. Amar Ravina. So Ravina says, "Va'idna deshavchi nareisun v'nahar gamda lahasim asira." So you think all the fish from River Bav are mutter because they just don't have non-kosher fish? He says, "Well, nowadays that's not true anymore because nowadays the Esan River and the Gamda River spill out into the Bav River, and therefore the fish get mixed. So there are non-kosher fish there nowadays." Okay, main point number four: Avrumi fish are sometimes kosher and sometimes not, depending whether the waters are Megadol Shratzim. Avrumi fish are sometimes kosher, sometimes not. I know I didn't explain it really well when we did the Gemara. By Avruma, the Rashi says on the second wide line, Min Dagim Ketanim Ve'in Shratzim Nikarim Ben. They're very tiny fish and you wouldn't be able to tell if there are Shratzim inside of them. So the fish itself is kosher. The question is, what about the worms or the bugs that are inside the fish? So if the fish come from an area where there aren't bugs and worms, so the fish are kosher, because the fish themselves are kosher. If it's from an area where there are bugs and worms, then the fish is going to be not kosher, because... So this is a major issue. You remember the whole salmon controversy? This Gemara is like a major maramakum, that whole controversy, when they found that all these little worms that grow in the flesh of the salmon. This it's a much more complicated issue than we're going to be able to get into right now. But anyway, that's main point number four, that avrumi fish are sometimes kosher, sometimes not, depending whether the waters are megadol shratzim, meaning depending on whether the waters you find them in have shratzim in the waters. Main point number five, Sachanta fish from the river Bav. Sachanta de Bav Nahara. Sachanta fish from the river Bav are mutter because the waters don't grow non-kosher fish. And then in parentheses I put, nothing to do with non-kosher fish being ill-equipped to deal with the waters. Right? Just simply don't grow there. They don't swim there. But it has nothing to do with non-kosher fish being ill-equipped to deal with salty water or fast water or anything like that. Right. Right. And then at the end of the Gemara says that, yeah, nowadays that other rivers mix with it, that it's going, you're right. That in the end of the Gemara it says, nowadays other rivers mix with it, it's you will find non-kosher fish there. Yeah.
Didn't say first that, like, don't think that it's not because they don't have a spine, because really non-kosher fish do swim there, but now we're saying that they don't swim there.
No, we said that rivers, fish from the river Bav, Sachanta fish from the river Bav are kosher. The Gemara wasn't sure why. So the Gemara had three possibilities, the first two that it rejected. First possibility was maybe it's because fish that aren't kosher can't survive there because the river's too fast and they don't have a spine. The Gemara says that's not true. That we reject because we see spineless fish do survive there. So the Gemara says, okay, maybe it's because the water's so salty. Right, so we see that even non-kosher fish are able to survive there, so that's why we reject the first reason. Yes, that's why we reject the first reason. The tzachanta. Oh, no, not in the river Bab, in fast waters, in similar fast waters. Yeah, okay, sorry, I wasn't understanding. Okay, in similar fast waters. Okay, two lines from the bottom now, almost done here. Itmar. Okay, now we're done with our fish discussion. Itmar. Sikech al gabe achsadro sheish leptzimin ksheira. If you put tzchach over an achsadra, which is a what's the best translation of an achsadra? It's like Rashi explains, you have a chatzar that's surrounded by an awning. I guess achsadra is an awning, right? Yeah, patio awning, and then you put tzchach, but you have patio like in the shape of a U. You have awnings in the shape of a U. Let's say you have homes that are attached homes that are shaped like a U. So you have the patios in front with the awnings on top of it, and then you have an open space in between, in the middle. So you fill up that middle with schach. You put schach over that middle. So if the achsadra has p'tzimin means it has poles. That at the edge of the awning, there are poles that go down to the ground. So then it's kshera, then it's going to be kosher. She'ein lo p'tzimin, but if there aren't poles that are holding up the edge of the awning, Abaye amar kshera, Abaye says it's kosher, v'rava amar p'sula, Rava says it's possible. Why? What's the logic? Abaye amar kshera, Abaye will say it's kosher, Amrinan Pitikra Yorid Vesosim, because he's going to say the concept of Pitikra Yorid Vesosim. What's the concept of Pitikra Yorid Vesosim? That the edge of the face of the awning, right, the Pitikra, the face of the awning, which is a vertical, right, the awning is horizontal, then the face of the end of the awning is vertical. We view it as if it goes straight down, as if it's a wall that goes straight down to the floor. Pitikra, the mouth of the beam, if the awning were beams, let's say, the mouth of the beam, the edge of the beam, we view it as if it's the beginnings of a wall, and the wall goes straight down. So it's an imaginary wall. So if this is my awning, I realize this won't help people in the recorder. So if this is my awning, here's the face of it. That thickness is enough to say we view it as if it continues to go straight down and create a wall. And therefore, if I have put tzchach over here, where are the walls of my sukkah? Not over here, they're over here by this imaginary wall. So that's why it's going to be kosher. So Abaye, so he says, Amrin Pitikra Yor V'Sosim. Rava Amar Psula, Lo Amrin Pitikra Yor V'Sosim. Rava says, Pasul, because we don't say Pitikra Yor V'Sosim. Amle Rava La Abaye, so Rava says to Abaye, Lidi Docht Amrin Pitikra Yor V'Sosim. Afilu Hivchis Dofen Amtsai. According to you, that says Pitikra Yor V'Sosim, you're going to say that that we view these imaginary walls, would just say the same thing. If you have a sukkah that's built in the middle of a chatzer, and it has these nice thick boards on top of it that are less than 4 tefachim wide, and the middle wall falls down. So, meaning, what happened? He says, forget about your case of the awnings and the porch. Take a sukkah. You have a sukkah with nice thick schach on it, and it had 3 walls, and the middle wall of the sukkah falls down. You should still have a kosher sukkah. Why? Because the thickness of the schach itself should create a pitikra, and that should be yorid v'sosim, and that should create an imaginary wall. So if you have a real wall here, used to have a real wall here, and this wall fell down, it should work anyway, because this thickness should create pitikra yorid v'sosim, should make a third wall. So that's Rava's challenge to Abaye. And no one says that. No one holds a sukkah with 2 walls can just have an imaginary third wall. What? Oh, good. Tefach. Let's assume a tefach. Right? 1 tefach. So he says, according to you, that says Pitagriya Vesosim, then that case should work also. Samalei, Modina Lachbahi, Davale Kamavi, I'm foolish. He says, no. In that case, I'll agree. That's like a wide open mavui that, you know, you can go right through on both ends. That can't work. So Lema Abaye V'Rava says, maybe Abaye and Rava Biplukta de Rav Shmuel Kamifli are actually arguing in the same machlokas that Rav and Shmuel argued about. The Itmar, because it was stated as follows. Achsadra Bibika. If you have an Achsadra out in an open valley, so we pick an open valley just to let us know it's not near a house. There are no walls of houses to be used over here. But you have an Achsadra, you have these awnings and these porches in an open valley. Rava Mamutal Taltal Bakulo, Darmin Pitikri Yor V'Sosim. So Rav says you can carry throughout that whole area on Shabbos because we view the edges of that Achsadra as if they create walls. We view the edges of the awnings as if they create walls. Ushmuel Amar, Ein Metaltel Ba'ela B'dal Ramos, Delarmin Pitikri Yor V'Sosim. Shmuel says you cannot carry more than 4 Amos over there because we don't say Pitikri Yor V'Sosim. So don't you see it's the same Achlokas? Do you or do you not say Pitagri Yor V'Sosim? Abaye, who does say Pitagri Yor V'Sosim, holds like Rav. Shmuel, Rava, who doesn't, holds like Shmuel. So says Gemara, no. Aliba de Shmuel, if you were to ask Abaye and Rava what Shmuel holds, Kuliyam lo pligi. Everyone would agree that Shmuel holds that we don't say Pitikri Yor V'Sosim. They're arguing whether Rav would say Pitikri Yor V'Sosim. Ki pligi, the machlokas Abaye and Rava was Aliba de Rav. What does Rav hold? So Abaye is easy. Abaye ki Rav. Abaye says, I hold straight up like Rav, that we do say Pitikri Yor V'Sosim. V'Rava Amrlach, and Rava says, no, I hold like Rav, but ad kan lo kam Rav hasam el demechitzos la'achsadru hu da'avidi. Over there was a different story, because the case of Rav was, you have a gazebo, and you want to use the edges of the roof of your gazebo to make a pitikra. Well, that roof was made for that area under the gazebo, was made for that space. That's where Rav would say Pitikra Yorid V'Sosim. But in our case, we're talking about homes that have awnings over them. What were those awnings made for? for the space under the awnings, not for the space in between where you're filling it in with kosher schach. Pitikra yor v'sosim is not going to help you in that case. But over here, where it wasn't made for this purpose, where the awnings were made for the area under them and not for the area under the schach, so then it would not work. Then Rava says, even Rav would be moded to me that it would not work. So main point number either 6 on Yud Chesam Aleph or 1 on Yud Chesam Beis is Sichech Bach Sadra. If you put schach on an achsadra, you have to know what these terms mean. You have to have pictured it correctly. On an achsadra that has ptzimin, that has poles. Abaye says kosher, Rava says pasul, and they're arguing about pitikra, yored, v'sosem on all four sides. Whether you could say pitikra, yored, v'sosem on all four sides, or three sides at least. Right. Well, no, you don't need the fourth because it's sukkah, so you only.
Wasn't that Rava's proof that on the fourth, if you had that case on the fourth side?
No, Rava was in the on the third side where you only had had two real walls and you're only using it for. So okay, so they both hold that you can't say they argue whether you can say pitikri or v'sosim on all the sides, and then you might as well write it now on Yutas Amud Aleph, main point number one. Rava would hold pitikra only if it was made for the inside of that area. Only if that awning was made for the area that you want the wall to be used for. Meaning, if I have an awning over my porch and I want to use the area outside of my porch, I want this wall to be meaningful for the area outside of my porch, Rava would say pitikra does not work. If I want this imaginary wall to be meaningful for the area under my porch, then pitikra does work. That's Rava's chiluk. Rava holds you can say pitikra, but only if you're using that imaginary wall for what it was meant for the area right under the awning. Not if you're using it for the area outside of the awning. Yeah, Shane.
Does this contradict what he said before, though? Because now he's saying, like, before his whole thing was, how could you hold that? Because then the sukkah would have to be kosher. According to him, he would hold it in a case where it's made for the
inside. That's a good question. I don't know. That's a good question. I need to think about that. I don't know. Okay, and with that, Saruchiyun, we'll say goodnight.